Thank you so much for those kind words. I've been a little feeling not too well. Good morning to all of you. And thank you for being here. Thank you for take a little bit of time of your busy life, because it is busy. We have a busy life, trying to survive every day. That's something that, you know, as long as we're able, we have to do work and provide for the family, being able to help others, and because I come into this country, I understand that, first of all, I didn't even know what the word bills was, and that's the only thing I didn't like. So they call them bills here. And in the States and Mexico, they're calling drugs. I don't know if that makes sense. If you have a bill, you have a debt, it's a drug. But it's not really a drug. It's just you owe money. And so, but you have to work for it. And, you know, life is not easy. And it's full of surprises in our walking life with Christ. That's the thing that for many people they do not know God and his promises, his words, his wonderful words of peace, of love. Anything that happened to them in life, they take it really hard. They take it really hard on them, whatever situation they're going through. They and so much that they make decisions it takes them to the extreme. And really, there's no need for any of that, because first of all, you know, we don't, you know, our soul is not our soul, it's God's soul. So if you know what God wants of you, you patiently wait for him. And so that's something that I came to the understanding when I first enjoyed the church. You know, the things that God wants from each of us as individuals, because he has given us the opportunity to choose from ourselves. Probably in the Old Testament was either you take it or you get kicked out of the camp. You know, these days, as Christ came to this world, he made it, I believe he made it easier for us to choose what way to go, what way to choose to go to, because there's only two ways, as we know. There's only two ways. And so we had to choose wise. And I think that's what you call love, mercy, and because he loves every nature of us. He loves you as you love your family, your kids. You don't love them the same way. You love them in a different way. You have a different love for each of them. And perhaps a lot of the times kids don't understand that. And maybe as they're growing up, it's like you have different thoughts. Like, my parents don't love me the same way they love my sister, my brother, or whatever. But you love them. You love them deeply in your heart. You love them. And so that's the thoughts that you understand when you become a Christian, when you become a follower of Christ, when you we come to the understanding of His love for you. And you know, even we don't know any everything. We don't know everything. Every time that you that we open our scriptures, we have a different message. And perhaps you have read whatever verse and whatever chapter, and it's a lot of times you have a different interpretation, different understanding. And I think it has to do with the things that are going in your life. I've been having a hard time this week, and there's been twice that I have witnessed death, and it's been in my mind, and I would say that's a sermon or a topic that not many people likes to touch. But the reality is that we are passing through. We are passing through. We're not here forever. Just like Brother Hugh says, it's going to come the day that we are going to lay down this old house. It's going to come the day that we're going to lay down this old house, this old body, this old shelf. And so when you see this happens around, and especially in your families, friends, or whatever, you can see their concern, the fear, and their faces, and it is really sad, and it's really hard to understand, and that's when the question comes of, you know, why this has to happen. I love this world. I love every each of you. I love what I do. I love my outdoor activities, but really we don't really know what it's going to look like. What are we looking forward to, the life to come? I mean, we can read and it has a lot of interpretations on the scriptures, and perhaps we're not going to really miss much about what we enjoy in this world. We all know that what brings you joy, and it has to do with anything, materialism. It brings you joy, but it's just for one moment. It's just for one moment. It's not going to be forever. And so when we read it, the scriptures, what God has promised us, if we continue with Him, living in His promises, we will have everlasting life. We will be with Him forever. We won't have no need of what we think that we need the most here, because everything is going to be provided from Him to us, and we're not going to really need anything, because everything is going to be there. And I don't understand much about that, but just the same way that He was raised on the third day in His glorified body, that is one of the promises that I'm looking forward to, have a glorified body. And so that's one of the promises. That's one of the promises to look forward. When I see my family going through the pain that they're going right now for the loss of my niece, who was not Mary, who had no kids, who was a beautiful girl. I can say that she was a really good girl. And so that's the part that we don't understand why you have to take her instead of taking other family member who's a drunkard, a drug addicted, not a really good person, you don't see really good fruits on him, her, whatever. And so, but who am I, or who, you know, to ask those questions? God is in control. God has all in control, and let's not forget that for God is always the right time. And he does not make any mistakes. That is for sure. So perhaps what I had to say today, it might be a short sermon. I have a few words. And it's not because the situation has been in my mind, but I mean, we can spend hours and hours talking about this, and is it a way to convince people, to convince those who you know they're lost and they're just wandering in the world, not knowing that the end is coming, especially when you see all these things going on around the world. Any day, just like the scripture says, any day he can make up his mind and just show up tomorrow. And the question is, are you ready for him? Are you ready for him? So I had no concern for my niece, because she was a believer. She believed in Christ. And so we had to trust that she is with him. That she is with him. I don't know where, how, or, but just the fact that I know that she was a believer, I hope and pray that she is with Christ and in his kingdom and his place that has been prepared for us into the day that comes that we have to be judged by him when we are in his presence in his holy throne. So that's the thing that we are. That's my advice for me, for everybody who is willing to hear these words. There's a God up there who loves you and who's alive, who's not just standing in one corner, not breathing, talking, or moving. It's just, we have a living God who was crucified for us, for you and I, for the sins, who remit us from the old path. And now that we are with him, we are able to walk with him with no concerns, knowing that we are in the right path. And so we live in a world that is very, very, full of contentions. But a lot of the times, you know, I heard it from some people here, you know, a lot of the times the best things that we can do is just to not say anything. I have coworkers that they come to me with their opinions, which, do you want to hear what I know, or do you want to fight me for my understanding, for, you know, what I know? So there's a lot of contentions and opinions. I don't like opinions. Keep them to yourself. Because you know, I'm not gonna like if you're asking me something, I'm gonna give you an answer. And it's not what you're looking for. I just don't want to hear your opinion. I'm trying to share what I know, what I understand, according to my ability, to my understanding, and my scriptures. And so this is the world that we are living. So we get you know, Christ said it, if they hate me, are you ready to follow me? They're going to hate you too. Are you ready to pick up the cross every day and deal with this? That's our only task in our life, to deal with the worldly people. That's our task every day. Every day that we step outside, work outside of this church, you have to be prepared to deal with people, either to witness to them or to put up a fight. Because they're, you know, we're going to be persecuted no matter what for our beliefs. And if you remember, that's why Christ was put on the cross, for because he speaks the truth. And a lot of people don't like the truth because the truth hurts. The truth hurts, that's for sure. And so in Exodus, it brings me the attention of Moses when he was passing by, when he fled from Egypt and he went to this other country where he met his wife and had kids and become a shepherd, and God appears to him. And it says in Moses, in Exodus 4:10-12, it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and a slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who make the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you, be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know, Moses had a lot of, he doubted himself. Either he was scared for what he was seeing, or he was scared to go witness what God was going to tell him to go and witness him to the Pharaoh. That's how it is these days. I mean, a lot of times when I step standing here, I'm like really nervous because I feel the same way as Moses. I'm not a learner guy. I can hardly understand this thing here in front of me. But you know, then you read what God is telling him. You know, who made all this? Who made you? Who made the blind see? Who made the dumb talk? It was me, the Lord. So don't be afraid, because I'll be with you. And everything you say, it's not going to come from you. It's going to come from me. I'm going to put the words in you. That was the promise that he gave I believe was Samuel. So God is always acting up in your life. So a lot of the times when you speak, when you witness him to others, it's because you have read his word. You have witnesses. You know the witnesses that he's asking you to be, of his promises and all those things. And so we have to apply those in our lives and share it with those who are suffering because they're lost of the loved one. So we have to learn to trust God and not being, you know, like Moses, thinking that he was, you know, just watching a vision. He was really there. He was really talking to him. And that can be amazing. I mean, can you imagine if God comes to you and talks to you, hear his word? You know, you would want to proclaim it to the whole world that you have heard God's voice. You know, these days, as you become Christian and you baptize in the name of Jesus, you get to have the gift of the Spirit. You know, in my mentality, you don't really hear God's voice. But he does warn you. He warns you of things that things could happen to you in life, or warning you of things or places to go, not to go. So that is not your conscience, like many people say. It's the spirit that God has put on you. And so that feeling, we have to follow that feeling, trusting that that is what God wants of you. And 1 Samuel 3:1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministering to the Lord before Eli." This is Samuel, who was the youngest prophet that I can remember that God has brought to him, killed by this lady who could not have babies. And that was one of the promises she made to God, that if you give me a baby, I will give it to you. It's a gift for that blessing. And Samuel was one of them. So in those days, and if you read, the believing of God, it was gone. It went everywhere. You know, if you read the Old Testament, the understanding of God having these kings and Israel and sending them to the promised land, and knowing that that promised land was occupied of many other people, and God used Israel to go and clear up all those people out of that land. It's like me when I go and clean up, do a yard work, and I see all these weeds, and I get all those weeds out of that land, and just make it look nice and clean. That's what God was wanted of Abraham, Moses, and Joshua, all those leaders. The promise was to go to the promised land where they flew milk and honey. Remember those things. But why God wanted that to happen? It's because all those people were doing the things that God did not like. And so that's why the Israelites, that was their goal, to go to that land and just kick everybody out. Of course, in God's eyes, was to kill everybody else, not to leave anybody alive, or there will be consequence. And so that was the plan. But after they make it happen, you know, they forgot about him. And so, and the child Samuel ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. So God used Samuel. First of all, Eli was not a really good priest, and his sons were doing all kinds of wickedness in God's eyes, so he was not happy about that. And so God used Samuel to bring that back to the land, to the people. You know, in these days, it's the same thing. Churches grew up, and then they fell. And they fell to the ground. They don't get up anymore. Yeah, I remember what Brother Jay says. You know, we need to be prepared for those for today, because it's happening. There's people wandering around as sheep without a shepherd, and so it's going to come the day that people are going to be hungry for the world. They're going to look for the world. So we have to be prepared for those days, that we may be able to witness to them. And so there was no open vision. So this is my comments. Their message had no authority, because God was not with them. Obviously, Eli was having a hard time. He was not a really good priest, and his sons were even worse. They did not make the truth come clear to the people. and they were not hearing it. They were not hearing it. And so, you know, the things of the world can make this happen to. They were not willing to listen to what you have to say. So the people were no longer trusting the priest Eli or his sons, because even the people would come to Eli and say, hey, look at your sons, what you're doing. So that feeling, that love, that peace, it was gone. It was gone in those days. And so God has to rise up someone else with the power of correction to fix the situation. That was Samuel. So believing is a big word. I see my family that they're going through this, and we had a conversation. And you know, I said something that maybe they didn't know. Some of them are from the Catholic Church. And so, you know, the most concern when you die is that you don't want to get stuck in, and what's the doctrine? I forgot the name. But you're united in earth or heaven. And so you had to pay to priests to so they can have masses and pray for you. Purgatory, thank you. Yeah. I don't think that even purgatory words in the Holy Scriptures. But that is something that I came unto the understanding knowing that I was Catholic myself. I never understand what that means. But yeah, so that's the biggest concern. But if you remember Christ, what did he say? And I think it's John 14, he said, I conquered the world. I am victorious. When he was raised from the dead, he conquered death. So there's no more pain to be concerned that this is going to have something you have to deal with. There will be no more pain. That sting, it has been removed. He took it. So what does that mean? It's something that is hard to understand, but then you hear that our life will change on a twinkle in an eye. Am I saying it right? It's going to be so fast. Something that you just like when you move up and down your eyelid. That's just going to happen, I believe. And another thing is that seeing all this happening around us, it's like, are we ready for that day? I mean, it's right there. Obviously, it's true. Is God true? His promises are true? Why is this all this has to happen? Why is this, these people have to leave this world? So, what is your thoughts? What is your thoughts? And so that's when we have to trust in the Lord, because he will comfort you. John 3:16 is you haven't nothing that you haven't heard before. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's just one of his promises that he has for each of us. So when you hear those words, and as you're going through all this, that's where our hope should be, because our hope, just like the song says, it's like an anchor. We have to grab on to that and not let go. In the Book of Mormon, it's like, you had to grab onto the body and not let it go, or you'd be wandering around. And so that was the concern of Lehi with his sons. And that can be the concerns from God to us, even in these days. Because you see all this happening, you're like, so what am I doing here? What are I getting from going to church? You know? Am I truly going to get salvation as is promised in the Scriptures? If I see death happen everywhere, wars and sicknesses and all kinds of stuff, and maybe you're suffering right now, and you don't see anything happening, you know, there's just thoughts and doubts that just keep running and flooding your mind. And so that's when you have to lean in Christ. Lean on Him. Just focus on Him. For one thing for sure is that when I first start following Christ, my life has changed. And I'm not the same person that I used to be. That is for sure. And so I can take that as a witness that God does change your life. And if He has promised these things to us, and we are true Christians, we might reach the point. And Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's pretty clear. You know, don't question me. I got you covered. I got you. You just have to follow my commandments. I mean, I don't know how long Moses was gone when the Israelites, after God been walking with them, they fall back like any person who do drugs or drink alcohol. They're trying to be clean, but then they fall off the wagon and they just go back again like a dog when it pukes and then goes back and eats his puke. That could be one of us. And that was Israel when Moses was talking to God and came down and they were worshiping an idol. Let us not be those people. We have to continue. See, my advice here is we have to be strong no matter what happened. We have to be strong and not to lose our faith. That's one of the important things. I don't know if I do have the love, the patience that I need to deal with all this. But I've been listening to the Bible and an audio every morning, and it really comforts me. It comforts me in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, comforts me. Especially when you know when you haven't heard something and then you hear it right there. I mean, in a way that it is more clear to you sometimes, because when we read it here, perhaps it's not so clear to you. But if you would read your word, your Bible, your Holy Scriptures, you might know what I'm trying to say or what I'm speaking of here. So we are not alone. God told Moses, you know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I will always be with you. And that word, I will always be with you. I don't know how many times you can run into it in the scriptures, but it's in there quite a few times. God keeps saying, you know, remind us, I'm here with you. You know, you're not alone. You're not alone. In Psalms, the Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart and saveth such as be as a contrite spirit. You know, when we go into hard times like now, I mean, quite a few of us, even in our church, have lost some loved ones and they're still mourning. You know, like God looks into those who are suffering and have that contrite spirit. He looks into those things. You know, Isaiah 57:15, it says, "For thus says the Lord, the high and holy one of the inhabited eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to re, revive the heart of the contrite ones. If you having a hard time, he says that he's going to be with you, especially with you, because he knows your suffering, and he will lift you up. You know what? Another promise is that in the last days, you know, he's going to give us the strength that we need, that we're going to be a strong man, and you know, like eagles, like we will run like a young people. They will never get tired. We will have our strength back. Our bodies will have no need of any of these things that we need in this world to continue and to have the strength, because everything is going to be provided from God, and He's telling you right there, right here, that He is looking into you. You're not alone. You're not alone. He's right here with you. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, and I will help thee. Yea, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Romans 8:26-28. Likewise, the Spirit also help our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we are. But the Spirit Himself make intercession for us. You know, we were talking about this the other day with my family. When you go into those moments, you don't know what to say. You don't know what to speak. You don't know what to think. You are like in a limbo place. That you're just hearing things and they just go by. And so how I can understand that, it's just like, it's just like Psalms 23, you know, as I've been there. And so it's a pain that you have that words really don't comfort you. You're just being yourself in a way that everything you hear, it just goes by you and you're not really paying attention. But that's when God says, you know, I'm with you because I have a contrite spirit. I'm suffering. But just like it says right here in Romans, where did I stop? And He that search the hearts knoweth what is in their minds of the Spirit, because He make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are not are they called according to His purpose. We are at distress and we have feelings. And in a way that when we're going through all these things, we can't provide or do anything. So that's when the Spirit of God, Lord, and comes to you. Because He says, when I see a person with a contrite spirit, I will choose him as my friend. And I will stay with that person. And I will live with that person. I make home with that person. So now notice that God does when He comes to us. He will with us to revive us, to revive our spirit, to make us strong. Because we still have things to do. We still have a life to continue on until when the time comes that He will call us. So He will revive your heart, your spirit. He will lift you up. He will never, never leave you alone. Because He is our bread of life. We breathe Him. It's almost like the air that we breathe, that's one of His gifts. That's one of the gifts that we have. And so the question is, you know, how far we are from death? So we had to be prepared for that day. Something that we have no control over. Romans 5, 1 to 12. So there's a lot of reading, but a lot of the times when I read, it has a better understanding of my point. One to 12 says, and seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came into him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Those are words of comfort. He's talking to you and I. Blessed are the mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manners are evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute the prophets which are before you. That is our reward. Our reward is great. So he's comfort us here. This is his words, God's words, Christ's words. He's trying to comfort us. This is all going to happen to you. But if you stay strong, your reward will be greatly in heaven. What is greatly in heaven? It has no price. It's priceless. When everything we have here is pricey, it has a price which you are not able to take. So what should you focus on the reward in heaven or your reward on earth? That's why it has come sometimes in the situations, the conversations that we have in our families, that how is it that we don't get paid because the word of God is free. And those who are thirsty, they can come and buy and drink for free. You don't need no money to hear his word. You need to get paid to hear his word, because his word is free. And to me, I will continue to do this, knowing that my reward, it will be greatly the what I could desire to have here on earth. And so by, you know, holding on tight to what we know, to our promise, to our hopes that we have in Christ, and then to the day that comes, God will prepare you on his own way, his own time. So it's not that you're going to be prepared. I mean, we will be judged from our own works. But it's only so much you can do. Who knows how the judgment day is going to be? We just have to do the best we could. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So my advice is that no matter what happened, we have to continue walking on the path that is in front of us, and win that race, the race that is in front of us, and perhaps be rewarded with that great reward that we read here. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Ephesians, real quick here, in Ephesians it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall be boast. You know, I'm not worthy to say I did this because me, not because God. You have to give the credit to God no matter what. You have to glorify God no matter what, even if you have lost your loved one. Glory be to God, because He gives and He takes. He keeps life and keeps death. He is God. So the hope that we have is for us to continue going as we have the promise of the reward. So don't lose the hope. Don't lose it. Faith is a principle of obedience. We have to be obedient, just like Christ was. He was obedient. He didn't say no to the plan that God had of him being sacrificed in the cross as a lamb for sin, for all of us, to save us. He was obedient. In Hebrews 10:35-39, cast not away therefore your confidence, which he had great compenses of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now, they just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are of him. We are of Christ. We are not of the world. So I know that we have sorrows in life, and it's not easy to deal with. But like all this pain and suffering for our lives, for our loved ones, the promise is here. In John 16:22, and you know therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taken from you. The joy that we have is in Christ and in his word. And into that day that he comes, because it says that he will not tarry, he will be here. Our joy shall be with him. Psalms 119:50, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. My comfort and my affliction and your problems is he will comfort you. Here's my last one. John 19:25-27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sisters, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. The pain of Mary watching this happening to her son. Can you imagine that? That would be so painful. it's the same thing that could happen to any of us. But I don't know what to think right there. He's giving it to his disciple who he loves, and knowing that he will take care of her mother, his mother, as he there as a son. Can you imagine? You know, that was 33 years old that he lived with his mother. And I cannot imagine everything he did in those years. Those are the thoughts in your hearts that is more painful than anything else. Remembering the things that occur in the whole, you know, life they were together. That's a hard thing to let go. Those things that you got to enjoy with them. So, you know, the promise is that perhaps if we continue follow and stand, follow his commandments and do his commandments, we will may be able to see them again, which I have no warranty of that. But perhaps, you know, in the book of Revelation, John, he saw the young, the tall, the old, you know, he saw everybody sitting in the front of the judgment seat. So I don't know what that means, if you were able to see your family members again. I guess we're just gonna have to wait. But this is just a little bit of touching about what is going on in our lives and what is going to happen in the after. One thing for sure is that we are not here forever. And so, let's just keep on believing and trusting in God and the faith that we have in Christ Jesus, that we may get to be with him in his glory and in his mansions. In his mansions, because he says, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I, that where I be, you shall be with me. So I would really like that very much myself. So I hope you feel the same way. And those are my thoughts for today. Thank you.